The reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14, and is found on the service sheet. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, as I hope you've picked up, the theme is finding the way. And once you start looking at themes like this, you find that word crops up in all sorts of places. Now, Joey's going to bring some, or she's bringing out some bags for the children. And inside are some worksheets. And the worksheets are all based on that theme of finding the way. There's dot to dots in there. I think there's a maze. And there's something that's called a labyrinth in there as well. So if you get these taken home, then as mums and dads, you can have a look and see what your youngsters managed to do. As I was turning this theme over in my mind, it suddenly dawned on me how surprised I'd been with my very young grandchildren when we used to take them to play school or nursery. And they would say, but this isn't the way home, Granny. And I thought, that's funny, isn't it? That they've actually noticed, without us saying anything about the way home. We're in fact taking them a different way home. But it brought to my mind, and this is quite a salutary thought if we're parents, that actually children learn to know the way without you all having to say anything. I never told our grandchildren, we go down this road, turn left, go this way or that way. We just simply took them. And so they learnt the way without us saying anything. Now, that is a bit scary, isn't it? Because we don't always have to say anything. Children learn the way that you are. Those unspoken ways that you behave. And they pick up all sorts of unspoken things. So that's where we pray constantly to God, that in our home life we will mirror Christ in our relationships with one another without having necessarily to say anything. That's just an off-the-cuff that struck me. It came back to me thinking, I never realized they were so young that they would know that we were taking them a different way, which for them wasn't the right way. So how can we know the way? That was a question Thomas asked. Thomas, who we had mentioned from last week, but he's also in the reading this morning as well. And Jesus answered him. I'm the way, he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me... Now, that word know, K-N-O-W, I know in German there's two words that mean know, One of them is when you know something in your head, intellectually, and the other one is a more intimate way, when we, a husband or wife or someone who's very close, we know one another in a more intimate way. What Jesus is saying is, if you really know me, not just up here, but if you really know me in an intimate way, then you know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. Philip is perplexed. Can you pick that up in the words that he says? In verse 8, it's on your summing sheet. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answers, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? They hadn't really understood that Jesus is the human face of God. As Christians, we believe in the incarnation. What does that word mean? Well, it simply means that God came to live on earth in human form. And we celebrate that every year at Christmas. That God revealed himself in Jesus. He came to earth to show us what he's like. Jesus lived the way for his disciples for 3 years. They lived with him all that time in a very close bond. And as we read the Gospels, we see how Jesus lived in the nitty-gritty of everyday life. They saw him tired. You remember the woman at the well? Jesus talked to her. He was tired, he was thirsty, he was hungry. So he's a human being like we are. He knew times of being rushed off his feet. Don't most of us know that? We see him weeping at the grave of his friend Lazarus. And shockingly, this reading is set at the time of the Passover. Shockingly, they saw Jesus washing the sweaty, dirty feet of his disciples. A task that only the lowest slave in a household performed. I don't think sitting here we can really get hold of the shock that those disciples had. They all sat there or reclined there at this meal waiting for that servant to come in and wash their feet. Nobody did. And there wasn't one of the disciples who could say, or do, I'll wash your feet. They sat there. And imagine the shock when Jesus gets a towel and water and does the task of the meanest servant in the household. They'd listened to his teaching, which amazed so many of them, giving with an authority that was different to those of their religious leaders. And that authority came from his relationship with God, his Father. The teaching that he'd given them foretold his betrayal and death at the hands of the religious leaders of the Jews. He told them the story about the good shepherd who died for his sheep. Remember that? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. But they hadn't really understood. They hadn't got the message. God's power rested on him as he healed all sorts of sicknesses. He brought healing through forgiving sin. And he was able to control the power of nature. Remember, he stilled the storm. So Jesus was living, showing all these different aspects of God. The disciples saw that intimate relationship Jesus had with God in the way that he thanked. You watch when you read the Gospels. If you've never read a Gospel straight through, have a go with Mark. It's quite short. And look with that question in the back of your head. What is the Gospel writer showing me about Jesus? And you'll see and pick up that intimate relationship that he had with God. Thanking God, turning to him constantly in prayer, seeking guidance and strength, praying in such a way that those first disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, like John did his disciples. There must have been something about the way that Jesus prayed. They wanted to know how to pray like that. And you've prayed the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father. Relationship, isn't it? It's not my Father, your Father, but our Father. They saw how Jesus related to people with compassion, but with also challenge. He gave one or two people a kick up the rump, didn't he? You remember the rich young man who said, what do I have to do to gain eternal life? What did Jesus say? Sell everything you've got and come and follow me. Not that he's saying to every one of us here, sell everything that you've got, but what he recognized about that young man was the thing that held him from knowing God intimately was the trust he put in his wealth. Jesus knew. He also knew those who were out to trick him. Look at the tricky questions he asked again in the Gospels and look at his answers. Perhaps it was only as they looked back at those amazing 3 years that the penny began to drop, that they began to understand. Again, and on a number of occasions in the Gospel, the writers make this point where the disciples say, oh yes, we remember when Jesus said that. Ah, now I understand. I didn't understand at the time. Do you remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Broken with the events that had happened on Good Friday when a stranger approaches them and they spill out their story. And this stranger then opens up the Old Testament to them. Remember, the New Testament hadn't been written then. In such a way, it must have been an amazing Bible story to have Jesus take you through the prophets in the Old Testament that foreshadowed his coming. And these two, when they sat down with a meal, said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't we know there was something about this man that was different? And it was only when Jesus did that so familiar action, when he broke the bread and gave thanks, suddenly they saw Jesus. Yes, it's him. And he disappeared. The early Christians were known as people of the way. And maybe you've been on the way a long time. Perhaps you haven't long started. Or you're wondering, do I really want to start? Is this way the one I want to go on? Because every one of us knows that living is a messy business. And the way is neither short or easy, but rock-strewn and there's obstacles. How do we learn to handle these? The way. How do we do it? How do we live it? Look to Jesus. Look again in the Gospels, how he shared everything with God. He shared his fears, his perplexities, his anguish, his joy, and his delight. Read a Gospel and pick up those things. In his living, Jesus married the knowledge of God and his life experiences. And that's the way for us too. We learn how to believe in that way. Jesus says to us all, as he did to those first disciples in verse 1 of our reading. Remember, he's sitting with them, eating. He's told them some awful things. And he says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. He knew they were troubled. This wasn't what they wanted to hear. You believe in God, believe also in me. And Matthew's gospel finishes with that wonderful saying, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That promise that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now that can be head knowledge. It becomes heart knowledge when we have to trust that that is true, that we see. Does that work? Do I know that God never leaves me or forsakes me, no matter what the situation is that I'm in? So, people of the way, I'm just looking for a little bit of paper that, no, I can't find it. The children will have had one of these in their folders, and we're going to have a look in a minute at what they've managed to do. May not be exactly like this one, but this is called a labyrinth. And for many years, early Christians, this was part of their spiritual journey. Labyrinths are spiritual. The children have got labyrinths, they've got dot to dots, they've got a maze. A maze isn't necessarily a spiritual tool for you, but a labyrinth is. I think they pick up the difference between the rush of life. You get in at one side of the picture and you want to get, you know, as a child, you remember doing those? You want to get to the center or to the other side. But this one is a spiritual tool. Doesn't appeal to everybody, but I find this is really helpful. There's only one way into a labyrinth. On this one, it's just here. And the way is there. You can follow it, preferably slowly and thoughtfully. And as you follow it round, you find yourself doubling back on yourself sometimes. But if you follow it, you will always end up in the center. Take your time. When you get to the center, is a time to sit and pray. Be aware of what God's shown you on that way. You turn round and you come out again. And what that means is that you're turning round and coming out is what you're going to be doing in a few minutes, isn't it? In a little while, you'll be going out through the door. Have you discovered something about God this morning? Our prayer is that you have. That you've taken something that you can take out into your living this week. So, if any of you have been to Chartres in France, there's one of these in the cathedral there. There are a number of other places where you can find these. One of them in Leicestershire as well. So, labyrinths are interesting. That's what the children have been working on with their dot-to-dots as well. So, if you've got a young child, see if you can work out. Walk the labyrinth with your finger, so to speak, and see if you can find God speaking to you through that. So, let's have a minute simply to be quiet. Father, we know the psalmists often said to you, show us the way, Lord. Show us the way that we may walk in your path. And that's the prayer that we have this morning, Lord. The psalmist said in 139, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know us, Heavenly Father, exactly where we are this morning, on the way with you. Or whether we're just thinking about it and are not sure. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to you so that we may deepen our love and our knowledge of you and understand how they both interweave in our everyday living. And we know we can ask this in confidence because of Jesus. Amen.